South African blacks cast first ever ballots. Taiwanese jetliner crash in Japan kills 152. Accused Russian spy Aldrich Ames and his wife cut a plea bargain. Good Tuesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
I've never thought that the day will come like this one. I've been long waiting for the voting and today it's here.
Today it is here.
Today I really believe this day has dawned, and it's so dawned to us that it gives everybody, a black man, light, whoever it was who was oppressed all the time.
No matter, bombs and everything, but today is today. To come and you know, break the shackles that has been keeping us down for all these years.
It is a new day in South Africa where blacks have begun voting for the first time ever. As CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker reports, the first of the polls were the old, infirm, and imprisoned.
This is the day they dreamed of, struggled for. Black, elderly, infirm, transforming South Africa with the first votes of their lives. South Africans voting to give birth to multiracial democracy, even as others are trying to kill it. 21 people have died, dozens have been injured in 3 days of terrorist bombings. Right-wing whites have claimed responsibility and threatened more to come. Nelson Mandela, almost certain to become this country's first black president, said the violence would not derail the democratic process.
The spirit is so high that no bomb blast will deter them.
On the streets, first-time voters agree. They've come too far and struggled too long to be frightened away now.
On voting, there's no doubt I'm gonna make my mark. There's no way that I'm gonna stop voting.
If it means putting my life on the line, that's it.
You'll vote anyway.
I'll vote anyway.
F.W. de Klerk, president of the last all-white government, called the bombers the lunatic right fringe and promised to apprehend them, then helped his mother cast her ballot for the new multiracial South Africa. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Johannesburg.
Judge Johan Kriegler, head of the Independent Election Commission, says if more people have to die in election violence, so be it.
Even hundreds of lives will have been worthwhile. After all, many thousands have died for these elections. A few hundred more, painful though it may be, will have been well spent.
Little violence is reported, but in East Rand, 300 voters had to wait in the hot sun because a van bringing ballots was hijacked. Longtime anti-apartheid campaigner Helen Sussman expects a Mandela government to take more from the rich to help the poorest.
There's not going to be any grabbing of houses and land and hopeless system of taxation which will kill the goose that lays the golden egg, but there will be redistribution.
President de Klerk, who'll be a junior partner in the new government, also look forward today.
The election will ring in a new era for South Africa, an era of reconciliation. The next 5 years are going to be crucial.
At midnight, South Africa gets an interim constitution giving blacks equal rights and a new national flag. About 100,000 South Africans are qualified to cast absentee ballots here in the United States. Reports say at least 152 people are dead in today's crash of a Taiwanese airliner while landing at Nagoya Airport in central Japan. Steve Herman has more.
Witnesses say the plane seemed to drop sharply as it came over the runway, and after it hit the runway, it quickly burst into flames, and it took firemen about an hour to put out the fire. It was a very big fire. Witnesses also say they heard three explosions right about the time the plane was landing. There are a lot of bodies that were around the runway after firemen were finally able to move in. Most were covered with blankets, and many of the survivors were taken to hospital with severe burns.
That flight originated in Taipei. All told, 269 people were on board. Bosnian Serbs around Garajda face a new NATO airstrike ultimatum tonight. And in London, Secretary of State Christopher says they haven't fully complied.
We see some signs of movement, but it's clear that today will be an important day.
More from correspondent Barry Peterson in Sarajevo.
The clock is ticking for the Serbs around Garajda, and by all signs, they have stared at tonight's NATO ultimatum, and they have blinked. Heavy weapons must be withdrawn 12 miles from Garajda, and so, say the Serbs, they will be. The Serbs are trying to make retreat look like victory. Serb TV extolling its forces for leaving ahead of the deadline. The city is quiet, quiet Bosnian style. No shelling, but plenty of small arms and sniper fire. And Garajda fits a new deadly pattern. Serbs turning their artillery on virtually defenseless cities. NATO finally stepping in. The Serbs, faced with a force bigger than their own, retreating. And in their wake, leaving behind hundreds wounded and dead. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Sarajevo.
military honors, the flag-draped casket carrying the body of former President Richard Nixon has been placed aboard a VIP jet at Stewart Air Force Base, New York, the very same plane he used as Air Force One. Nixon will be buried tomorrow in Yorba Linda, California. The word this morning is that accused Russian spy Aldrich Ames and his wife Rosario have agreed tentatively to a deal in which they will admit their guilt and he will cooperate with investigators. Clinton administration officials say the negotiations are essentially completed and could be presented in court Thursday. It's understood that Ames, a veteran CIA officer, would get life and his wife 5 years or less. At least seven people are dead, about 20 injured after a tornado hit the Dallas suburbs of DeSoto and Lancaster. Cameron Fairchild has details from KRLD.
As soon as the storm passed, shaken residents of Lancaster began a frantic search for friends and family members. Kelly Holbert's search took her to a temporary medical center set up at a local elementary school.
Terrible damages everywhere and people laying on the streets, and our friends are just, there's no houses left over here back here. We don't know where our friends are, none of our friends. We can't find any of them. That's why I'm here, to see if we can go in there, if they're gathered in there. We can't find them anywhere. And their houses are just gone.
Alvin Hanlon and his brother Robert returned to the neighborhood where they had grown up to aid the rescuers.
Well, some of them, mostly, there's a lot of elderly folks live here in this neighborhood. Like I say, we grew up in it, and some of those folks are trapped. Some of the elderly we can't find. The homes are gone.
Emergency crews will make a more complete assessment of damage, injuries, and deaths caused by the storm later this morning. Cameron Fairchild for CBS News, Dallas.
A tornado also injured four in Tallahena, Oklahoma. Japanese politicians are locked in a power struggle that's already crippled the brand new prime minister. James Satori has more in Tokyo.
It's the latest unexpected turn in Japan's political kabuki play. One day after taking office, Prime Minister Tsutomu Hata is a coalition leader without a majority. Socialist Chairman Tomiichi Murayama has pulled his party out of the ruling coalition after learning other members had formed a parliamentary faction behind his back. The socialists were the largest faction in the coalition with 74 seats in the lower house. Their departure leaves Hata with less than a majority, and that adds up to trouble, even potential gridlock when it comes to passing bills. Prime Minister Hata has asked the socialists to reconsider, but they've said their decision is final. The dispute has forced him to delay naming a cabinet. It's unclear whether Hata's coalition will try to carry on under minority rule or whether this will lead to the government's collapse and new elections. James Hattori, CBS News, Tokyo.
Britain's BAT industry says it will pay $1 billion cash to acquire American tobacco from American brands, subject to U.S. antitrust clearance. Overseas, the dollar is higher, London gold up $1.40, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 2.68. It's 10 past the hour.